Good evening. Welcome to the Porch on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm a little flustered here because with 26 seconds to go, I could not get into the switchboard, but it all worked out. So I'm Richard Grund. I'm glad you're here. Thank you. We're still talking about the Pentecost Protocol. Tonight, we're going to get into the gifts of the Spirit. But before we get going, a little quick update. Studio's being finalized. All the furniture has been built, and I have the soreness and the bruising to prove it. Now, just got to work out the techniques of lights and cameras and all of that. So keep praying and believing. I hope to have a photo of the studio, finished studio, in the next newsletter, which should be the end of this week or maybe the beginning of next week. So if you're on the Porch newsletter mailing list or a Facebook friend, you'll be able to see it. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for those of you that support what we do. You'll be able to see the end result of that pretty soon as we kick this into the next level of interactive ministry, teaching, seminars, maybe a school of the Spirit, maybe training people to do or understand what SRT does so that you can do it for yourself and maybe help some people in your area. We'll talk about that. That's a little more in-depth and complicated than it sounds, and a very, very heavy responsibility. I've been getting emails and calls about people being spiritually and physically weary. If you're feeling that, you're not alone. It seems to be prevalent across the body, around the world, that we're not only picking up on what's going on in our lives, we're picking up what's going on everywhere. And reading the news, going on the internet, reading all these things that can wear you down to the point you just want to stock up the bunker, close the door, lock the door, and say, let me know when the Lord gets here. But we can't do that. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep our head up. We've got to keep our eye in the sky, waiting for the return of the King. So this is what I wrote somebody who texted me from Hawaii about that. Get your prayer and your praise on. When you start feeling down, get your hands up. Turn on some anointed praise and worship music, not some of the nonsense on Christian radio, this gooey pop-sounding, secular-sounding stuff. Find some anointed praise and worship. If you don't have it, I can suggest some. But get your prayer and your praise on, get your hands in the air, get your heart towards the Lord. Somewhere in the midst of that, when the Spirit shows up, you'll be on your knees, maybe even on your face. But you got to feed your spirit. You have to energize yourself spiritually. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I believe that standard is a standard of praise, acknowledging who he is. Even as I'm speaking about it right now, my body is reacting to what I'm saying. I'm feeling invigorated. I'm just energized. I feel taller. I feel bigger. And it's amazing what can happen when you begin to praise him, when you begin to thank him, when you begin to ignore the circumstances going on around you and set your eyes and your heart and your soul and your mind on him. Just one prayer request came in. Now, folks, I'm not going to remind you. I'm not going to post every week on Facebook and remind you. At this point, you should know that we do this. And Stacy in Fort Mitchell does. And I give her credit for the fact that she always gets one in because she wants prayer. So I commend you for that, Stacy. She's asking for prayer for her dad's cousin, Jerry, who's going through a lot physically and financially. And also, she has a situation I don't have the time to go into here, but back in 1985, I think it was, her father was an engineer on an Eastern Airlines flight that crashed. And all of a sudden, 35 years later, I think it is, the stories come back around and people are trying to find out what happened and there's some kind of a shadow hanging over it. And she just needs some help. She needs some direction. She needs some prayer, and she believes her Heavenly Father is trying to show her an area that needs to be healed so that she can be closer to him. So remember that. Also, her little guy Jacob is sick, so pray for Jacob. Father, in the name of Jesus, let Jacob be healed right now. wherever he is. We lay our hands on him and we say, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth, be healed. Ask you for prayer for me and my family, for SRT. I will tell you that the working on the studio has aggravated the leg injury, but we keep going. We press on. Father, we come to you now. We're pressing on. We're pressing in. We boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy because there is no barrier between us. You are the great I am, and you are Daddy, our Abba. So we praise you, and we love you, and we thank you. And we say, Father, help us. Meet us at our need. Fix what needs to be fixed. Heal what needs to be healed. Bless what needs to be blessed. Because we want to glorify you. We want to shine. So cleanse us. Purify the gold so that we can glow your reflection back into the world. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross. We will never take it for granted. We thank you for willingly enduring the shame and the pain so that we can be restored to our Heavenly Father. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you were sent from the throne room by the Lord to walk with us, to encourage us. Help your people to understand you as I teach, as I share you with them, so that they can come into a deeper, more intimate connection with you, so that they can do what they need to do and be what they need to be in this fallen world, in a world with these supernatural beings that want to destroy us and hurt us. So, Lord, we just thank you right now. We ask for your touch. We ask for your healing. I'm going to start things a little differently, Lord. I'm going to play a little clip from a Dennis Jernigan song, and then we'll go to the shofar. As this song plays, listen to the words, folks, and make it your prayer. Send your power. Amen. Amen. I haven't been doing this in a while, but felt led to do it tonight. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive and cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Well, let's go back here. We've been talking the Pentecost protocol. We're trying to understand Pentecost, understand the upper room. We're trying to assimilate the lessons from it and use them in our lives. One of my favorite statements by Paul is from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So we know that our ultimate testimony is not of our own making, or at least we should, but it's from the Spirit's inspiration. That word inspiration, the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially something creative, and it is the drawing of breath, the inhalation, in this case, of the Holy Spirit. So let's start out. Acts chapter 2, starting verse 1. Hopefully your Bibles are open, your apps are open, you're taking notes, you're downloading, you're sharing. These things are archived immediately afterward for listening and for downloading. 5.5 years worth, or a little over 5 years worth of teachings and lessons and everything you can think of regarding what's going on in the world spiritually. Take advantage of it. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit has worked in the midst of mankind before, from the creation to the Old Testament prophets, and then, of course, in the ministry of Yeshua himself. But now things would be different. The Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, would dwell in people and not just on them. His presence would be permanent and not temporary. We've looked at John 14, verses 16 and 17, when the Lord said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Thank you, Lord. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So on Pentecost, God gave his law on Mount Sinai, and it was accompanied with thundering and lightning, and he wrote the law on stones. But then on Pentecost, he sent down his Holy Spirit, rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire upon each disciple, in order that by his internal divine influence, that a new law of light and life would be written on the hearts of mankind and would be established. Everything shifted at that moment. No longer would he need tabernacles. No longer would he need buildings. In Leviticus, he told them that he would set his tabernacle among them and his soul would not abhor them, that he would walk among them, be their God, and they would be his people. That was Leviticus 26, 11, and 12. But everything changed. Everything changed when we became the temples of the living God. And he placed the Spirit inside of us so that when we walk in this fallen world, when we do what we've been commissioned to do, we are filled with the power of the Creator over his creation, which is why we should take care of this temple. 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. But guess what? You are received. He is a father to you. You are sons and daughters. And the purpose of Pentecost was the final phase of what began on the cross, restoration spiritually. And we look forward to the day of restoration physically. I believe that we are in perpetual Pentecost until the final harvest. And that's why we need to understand its ways. We need to understand the protocol. We have a job to do. Unfortunately, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. So we need his help. And he has chosen us to help him, and he's chosen how he's going to help us. That upper room fire is a personal one to help each and every one of us do the work of the kingdom in preparation for the final fire. Power, pouring out, movement, action. I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited just talking about it. But that's just me. What can I tell you? We look back at Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. Read it a lot here in 5 years and going to keep reading it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And he, being Yeshua, said to them, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name, meaning in his authority. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, in the commission of going into all the world, not some of this nonsense in the mountain snake handling. No, no, no. When you're going into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, if you should take up a serpent like Paul did on the island with the fire and the viper, or do anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So from the beginning to the end, from creation to restoration, from Genesis to Revelation, the Lord's desire is for action. He told us to go. He told us to preach, told us to heal, deliver, raise, do something. I don't know. Maybe you're not like me. Sometimes I want to run into these giant cemeteries. I mean, churches, places where these people are sitting on their spiritual posteriors and screaming at them, get up, do something. John 14, starting verse 12. Here we go. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. That was the revelation that took me in this direction. Oh, so many years ago, I think it was 2007. And then 2010, when he opened up the windows of heaven and began to share with me, because I wondered, where are the greater works, Lord? Where are they? And he said, whatever you ask in my name, you will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Where is that, Lord? Why have we not seen that? Why have we not had that? And I think there's a reason for that. We're going to get into that if I don't ramble on here and go off track, because I'm so jacked up right now. He goes on in 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the greatest commandment is love. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Yes, Lord. The Spirit of Truth. I think I read this one already. Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, will be in you. And the culmination of that is, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And then later, back to John 14, later on 26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things to your remembrance, all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That gets back to the weary and the tiredness. Our hearts are troubled. I don't know if we're afraid, maybe we are, and that's because we don't have that supernatural peace. That's because we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. And he said, you will receive power, you'll receive dunamis, you'll receive a force, literal or figurative, spiritually miraculous power, by implication a miracle in itself, ability, abundance, meaning, might. All these things are ours through the Holy Spirit. So we do what we do in his name, or we don't do it at all. And now a name, like I said, it's more than just identification. It carries with it authority, reputation, and power. And I would rather have his authority, his reputation, and his power. So when I go and do what I do, whether with SRT or by myself, as I've done since I got saved, I do it in his name. I do it in his authority. I do it by his reputation, and I by his power, and he is glorified. If I did it in mine, not so much. We have the ability to do what he asked us to do. You can't fail. If you do what he asked you to do and you do it his way, you're going to win. You're going to succeed. The advocate, the comforter, the encourager, the counselor, the parakletos, the spiritual gift given to us when the Lord departed, that helper, the one encouraging us, the one running with us in this marathon, shout encouragement, keep going, don't give up. Hey, what about this scripture? You forgot this. Lean here, do that. The example of the Holy Spirit, the representation of him in the Word and his presence in our life is what brings to us the aspects of his nature. Let me say that again. Some of you are struggling with this. When this Spirit walks with us, which means we're walking with him, he brings with him the aspects of his nature. And the aspects of his nature are the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what's the difference? Gifts are spontaneous external manifestations of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fruit grows from within over time as proof of his internal presence. Fruit is the byproduct of the productive relationship between the vine and the branch. That's where we were last week. John 15:5, Lord said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Do you understand that? Do you agree with me? Without him we can do nothing. So then when we go back to Mark 16:15, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We should understand that he's going to do it with us or not at all. See, when you read John 16:15, as I did through verse 18, then you have to add 19 and 20. And then the Lord spoke to them. He was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, which we know is the position of power and authority. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Verse 20 of Mark 16 confirms John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me takes permanent residence in me, and I take permanent residence in him or her. Bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Go into all the world. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to confirm it with signs and wonders. So the fruit of the Spirit is the natural, intrinsic result of spiritual life brought forth through your process of constant growth. Now, what happens to a vine when it stops growing? Not only does it die, it stops producing fruit. So fruit needs time. It needs time to develop and to come to that perfection. And it needs external factors like water and light and sun. Most people that I meet that desire the gifts of the Spirit have something wrong in that natural process that has kept them from producing fruit. Maybe they need to be pruned. Maybe they need watered more. Maybe they need to be fertilized. I don't know. But what I do know is you cannot go and do and preach and heal and raise and run and do all these things unless the Spirit is flowing freely through you. According to the Holman Bible Dictionary, spiritual gifts of the skills and abilities which God gives through His Spirit to all believers to equip, they use the word Christians, I say believers, to serve God in the Christian community, but we'll just call it the body. We'll call it the kingdom of God. Spiritual words, the word for spiritual gift is charismata. And in the Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary, charisma, which is where the charismata comes from, has many different meanings. A gift, a free gift, it's a divine deliverance from danger, it is spiritual endowment, it's religious qualification, it's miraculous faculty, it comes from another word. If you understand how the Greek language works, one word is actually the derivation or the result of another word. Charizome, I know I didn't pronounce that right because it's right in front of me, but I didn't get it right, sorry, which means to bestow, to deliver, forgive. But the great thing about it is charismata and charizome are a favor. They're a gratuity of kindness from the divine. So when we look at charisma, which is closely matched to the word charis, which means grace, charisma, divine grace, favor, it means something that is graciously given. Said all that to say this, the gifts of the Spirit can only come from the Father. They are graciously given. You can't manipulate them. You can't make them. You can't buy them. So when Paul used the term charisma synonymously with the Greek term pneumatica, which means of spiritual things, he was saying that the spiritual gifts are graciously given to you by the Father, by the Creator, given by the Lord to individuals in His body, in what we call the church, not the building, the people, to edify believers and to the furthering of the gospel and the kingdom of God. So, whoever you are, you have been gifted with some element of His charisma, the gift of teaching, prophesying, exercising of faith, healing, performing miracles, discerning of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, or other gifts, because there are more. So when we go to 1 Timothy 4:14, and we look at what Paul says to Timothy, who is struggling, he's trying to hold together this exploding church, all these things are going on. Paul encourages him, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, which with the laying on of hands of the eldership, don't neglect the charisma that is in you. Don't neglect the divine grace that is in you. Why would he say that? Well, what happens when you neglect a fire? What happens when you don't tend a vine? What happens when you don't feed it and treat it right? If we were in the same room at the same place, and I looked at you and said, are you neglecting a gift that is in you? What would your answer be? Would you be honest enough with me and with everybody there to say, yes, the Lord gave me this gift and I don't use it? Well, I'm going to say to you the same thing Paul said to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you. So except for the single exception of 1 Peter 4:10, charisma occurs in the New Testament only in the epistles of Paul. It's in a plural form. And it is used to denote extraordinary gifts of the Spirit bestowed upon believers to equip them for service in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, that just got me excited. Because that means whatever I do for the kingdom, The Holy Spirit's doing it with me and through me, which means I am directly connected to the throne room, which, as I've said before, I have the power of the Creator over the creation, and I am not afraid of anything, from HaSatan himself to the smallest demon, because I know who's in me, and I know who's standing with me, and I know that when I'm doing what the Lord's called me to do and I'm doing it for his kingdom, I cannot lose. And that's why the enemy doesn't like people like me helping people like you learn how to think like that. Because just think what the world and the body would be like if each and every one of us understood that greater is he that is in you than he that is against you. And the same spirit that raised Yeshua from the grave is inside of you. And the same spirit and power that he used to speak everything into existence, including all of the angels, is inside of you. Someone who is truly speaking by the means and power and direction of the Holy Spirit can never curse Yeshua, can never curse his name. Conversely, no one can genuinely proclaim the lordship of Messiah without the presence of the Holy Spirit. I've dealt that with in deliverance. Though demons will say Jesus is Lord, but he won't say that he's their Lord. They'll acknowledge his kingship. They will acknowledge his royal nature, but they'll never say that he's his Lord. And some people make the mistake. Well, the spirit of the person said Jesus is Lord. And I asked them, well, did they say he was their Lord? Well, I didn't ask that. Well, they got around on the technicality. Go back and ask them, is Jesus your Lord? So when Paul's speaking to the church in Corinth about the gifts, about these things, some of these people would give spirit-induced utterances that would then wind up into denigrating or neglecting or rejecting the physical historical Jesus in favor of one they've created, a spiritual heavenly Christ, which is an early form of Gnosticism, a false teaching in the early church that was viewed as evil. And what they did, and we see a lot of it today in the New Age, they said the body was evil, but the soul was good. Therefore, they rejected the physical Messiah and accepted a heavenly one. So there are many gifts of the Spirit listed in the Word. You'll find them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. So let's get into them. And I will tell you, I will not get all of this done tonight. And this may, the gifts and the fruit may go on for a couple of weeks. Go with me to Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Wow, what an original thought. Let us use them. If prophecy, then let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, isn't it amazing? What we started to see is the gift matched with an aspect of human nature, mercy, cheerfulness, things that the Spirit produces. Gifts of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit must work together. So when we look at the charismata, which means, again, God-given abilities, let me say this again. But this is one time I wish we were interactive so that I could ask you to see getting it. Because some of you write questions to me in emails and online or call me, and you ask me a question that I know I answered in a teaching. The gifts of the Spirit, are they man-given or God-given? Of course, the answer is God-given. That means that they should be used to build up the body for the purpose of the kingdom, which means he gives them as he pleases to whomever he pleases. 1 Corinthians 12:11, by one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills. If your Bible's not open, go back to it later. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 12:11, and I want you to highlight it and then underline, distributing to each individually as he wills. It's not as you will. It's not as the teacher of a course for 7 weeks and $200 wills. It's not as the person who's selling you a DVD how you can manifest your gifts wills. It's as he wills. That's why all these schools of the Spirit and all these things going on out there don't line up with the Word. Because how depressing is it for people that spend their money, that get excited, that go to these places, go to these events, go to these retreats, go to these seminars, being told that you're going to come here and then you're going to walk out with the gifts, you're going to prophesy, you're going to heal, you're going to speak in tongues, and then none of it happens because the Holy Spirit didn't will it. These talents that the Father gives to each and every individual believer comes from him as he wills to strengthen his people. It's like a parent giving a gift to a child. Do you give all your children the same? Hey, wait a second. My sister got this on her birthday, and now you're giving it to me on my birthday. You're going to give us all the same gifts every time? No. You're going to give me the gift that pertains to me, and you're going to give the gift that pertains to your son, or your daughter, or your husband, or your wife, the gift that pertains to them and to their needs, won't you? It's the same thing with the Spirit. So when he gives a gift to his children, there are diversities of gifts. There are differences of gifts. The formula is always, the formula for the gift expresses diversity amongst the people, but from the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God, the Father. I don't know if you're getting this, but this is vital for you to understand, for you to walk this walk and not be disappointed. You're not going to do what I do unless it's the Lord wills. I know I've said this before, but people have come to me, hey, you need to teach us how to do what you do. You need to teach us how to do deliverances, and you need to teach us how to go to these areas where the Lord sends you and do. No, I don't, and I won't. Because I remember sitting in this office somewhere early 2010 and literally having the Lord scream at me, stop teaching people to do what you do. I gave you the ability to do what you do. And now I understand the Word better, even 5 years later, on top of the original 20. Some odd. Math not very good at the moment. Each one of us are different. I do what I do because of the background that I came from. I came out of the occult. I came out of a broken family situation. I came out of the situations that I go back in to deal with. And the gifts that he's given me pertain to how he uses me. The gifts that he will give to you will pertain to how he uses you. And therein lies the problem. Many of you are asking for gifts, and you're not going to do anything with them. Ah, I think I stepped on some toes with that one. If you don't know your calling, if you don't know what he wants you to do, you don't know what gift you're going to need. And if you're trying to pursue something that's outside what he wants, he's not going to honor it. Because then you will misuse the gift. Diversities, differences in each one of us, same Spirit, same Lord, same God the Father. So though people are gifted differently, the source is always the same. And it's always for one reason and one reason alone. To glorify the Lord and glorify the kingdom. Romans 11:29 has a unique wording that not everybody understands. For the gifts and the calling of God. It's one of the first times you see the word gifts and callings together. For the gifts and the calling singular of God, gifts plural, calling singular, are irrevocable. Once given, they are irrevocable without repentance, not to be repented of. Well, guess what? This applies to the gift of salvation as well, because if you back up one scripture in Romans 11, you find out that Paul is talking about Israel. Many of the people of Israel, New Living Translation 11:28-29, many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news. And this benefits you Gentiles, yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Meaning once he declares it, it's going to happen. Wow, I'm preaching to me now. Once it's been declared, once it's been confirmed, it has to happen. He said he was going to save Israel. He's going to save Israel. He won't withdraw it, but we can withdraw from it. So if you're listening and you've written me, maybe you haven't written me. I don't know all of you. Have you withdrawn from the calling? Have you withdrawn from a gift that he gave you because it didn't match what you wanted? Why don't you come into agreement with me today to stop doing what you want, start doing what he wants? Why don't you come into agreement with me today to let him have his way with you? If you'll do that, when this is over, whether you're listening live or recorded, archived, with an open heart and with a sincerity, I want you to say, Holy Spirit, have your way with me. Do what you want to do so that I can do what he wants me to do. So they're irrevocable and do not change. They are to be pursued and developed, as for Peter says, the one time that he talks about the word charisma, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Pursue it. Desire it. I'm not telling you not to. But you need to desire the right gifts. And I can only talk about my experience. Folks, you don't want to be me. You don't want to do what I do unless you're called to. Find out what you're called to. Find out what he wants you to be. Because the New Testament encourages us that through the inward renewal of our mind, the transformation from your mind to his, having the mind of Messiah means that through your spirit, through his spirit and your spirit, you'll be changed into the likeness of Messiah. Let me say that again, because I kind of mangled it. Through the renewing and the transformation of your mind, through the presence of his spirit inside of you, if you allow it, you will be changed into the likeness of Messiah, which gets us back to the vine and the branches. He's the vine, you're the branches. He's the life-giving force of the vine. You're a little piece of wood that sticks off the side of it that produces fruit. The sap being the Holy Spirit flows through and makes it all happen. So when Paul told the Roman believers in 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Notice he didn't say the restoration of your mind. So I've learned something in my prayer. I have to be very specific. Like when I pray for healing, I don't pray for the Lord to restore it to what it was because it failed. It malfunctioned. Some part of my ancestry got passed along. No. I want renewal. I want it to be new. If I have a bone problem, I want a new joint. I want a new ligament. If I have an organ problem, I want a new one, Lord. I want my body to go back to your divine design, not what happened to me in my mother's womb, not what transformed me and changed me by the conditions of the world or the food that I've eaten. I want new. So that as we walk with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, we'll notice the change in our thought life. We'll notice that our mind has changed into his mind, which is why the enemy fights so hard in the media and the internet and the music and the movies and the television to get our minds back into a worldly nature and not a heavenly one. But let me let you off the hook. This transformation doesn't happen overnight. I've been at this since October of 88, and I've been pretty diligent, even somewhat obsessed about this. And here we are 26, 27 years, almost 27 years later, and I think I'm finally getting it. Salvation, instantaneous sanctification is a process. So our salvation, regeneration is instantaneous. You are born again. But the transformation is going to be a process. And you will be transformed day to day, glory to glory. You'll be conformed to his image, the image of Messiah, over time as you spend time in intimate fellowship with him. How? Through the Holy Spirit. It's always going to go back to the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Every time you spend time in his presence, in his glory, you're transformed from glory to glory. So why am I possibly further along than some others? I've spent more time in his presence. I've spent more time at his feet. I've spent more time in his word. I've spent more time in his lap. I've spent more time with my arms around his neck. I've spent more time listening. I've spent more time learning. I've spent more time weeping. I've spent more time just breathing him, praising him. Romans 12, verse 3, because of the New Living Translation, I want you to get this. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, Paul speaking, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our body has many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Messiah's body. We are all many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Translation, you can't do this alone. That's why I send them out two by two. That's why the power of prayer. One can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Just think what the couple of hundred of us could do right now that are listening and praying and all coming together on the porch. If we began to pray and touch in agreement, if I said to everybody at 10 a.m. your time tomorrow morning, hit it, hit the ground running, start praying for the people we've talked about. And we will do that. Once we're live and we're interactive, we're going to rock the heavenlies. We're going to shake things because we're going to touch and we're going to agree. For wherever you are worldwide, doesn't matter what time of day or night it is, because we're in this together. And that's why knowing your gift and knowing your calling is so vital, because if you're trying to do something you're not called to do and you're unable to do, it affects everybody around you. So he, the Father, has given to everyone one or more gifts that can be used in his service. He may give you one, he may give you two, he may give you all of them. I don't know. He'll give you what he can trust you with, I'll tell you that. So let's go back to Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And I think what just came to me, part of the problem with the failure of the American church is we want our leaders to be able to do all those things when in actuality it's a body situation. So we've been all dealt a measure of faith. The measure refers to God's sovereignly given gifts previously mentioned. These gifts are not the results of intense prayer or spirituality. You can't lock yourself in your closet. You can't take God hostage. You can't manipulate it. You can't buy it. He will give as he wants to whomever he wants in the way that he wants. And he will give it in such a way to make you useful and productive and strengthen the body. The one and same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. 1 Corinthians 12:11, 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased, with the working of the Spirit individually as he wills. Verse 28, and he has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:28, does it say that your church determines who the apostles and the prophets and the teachers are? Does it say your denomination determines who the apostles and the prophets and the teachers are? No, they are appointed by God, and they will show themselves by the fruit and by what they do in their life. An apple tree is not an apple tree because you call it an apple tree. It's an apple tree because it produces apples. So if you're going to prophesy, you're going to prophesy in proportion to your faith. Now, the word prophecy there means teaching, means speaking the word of God. It's in the general sense that all types of gifts in this regard are speaking God's words, which is why 1 Corinthians 14:3, he who prophesies speaks edification. This is where the confusion comes from. Somebody gives a message in tongues, so somebody interprets that. Well, he prophesied, so it should be edifying. No. Sometimes when the Lord says, hey, stop doing what you're doing, that's not edification, that's correction. So there will be times that prophecy will be correction. The exhortation comes when you speak the word. Now, do we have an example of the exhortation of prophecy revealing God's will in a particular situation? Yes, we do. Acts 13, verse 1 through 3. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The Holy Spirit spoke that through someone. Notice they didn't give the credit to who the Holy Spirit used because it didn't matter. It was what the Spirit said, and it was the Spirit speaking, and it was the Spirit assigning to Barnabas and Paul the work to which he, the Spirit, had called them. That's an example of exhortation and prophecy, the ministering of the spoken word. We're going to run out of time here, and I got so much more to cover, and I don't want to cut it short. I want to pray. So we will stop right there after Acts 13, 1, 3, prophecy. Next will be ministry and service, and that's where we'll pick it up on the next one. But I want to pray. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with me because I need prayer too. And I'm hoping that you're praying for me. I hope that you're encouraging me. I hope that you're blessing me. I hope that you're asking the Lord to protect me and my family from those things that would stop me from doing this. I hope that you're praying for the studio to get up and running so we can start setting the fire, and that the name of this thing, Firefall, and Firefall Media Group and Firefall Productions, which has been mine since 1997, I think it is, can actually happen. That the fire that fell in the upper room, the fire that fell on Mount Carmel, would begin to spread and would begin to change and would begin to clear a path for the return of the king. But folks, you're not going to do that unless you put aside all these things which distract you. You're not going to be able to do that unless you begin to forgive people. The Spirit will give you what he can trust you with. If you have an anger issue, he's not going to give you a power gift. He's not going to give you the ability to read people's mail, as I call it, revelation knowledge, because you'll use it incorrectly. It won't be measured with love and with grace. when I was a baby Christian, because I came out of the occult, because I understood the supernatural better than most, I moved quickly into the supernatural of the kingdom of God. And I wish somebody had taught me better instead of just turning me loose as they did. Because some of the branches on the vine I broke. In my effort to prune them, I broke them off. And it wasn't until I learned love and grace and mercy, began to understand the Spirit, could I be what He wanted me to be. Father, I come to You now on behalf of Your children. I come to You now, Holy Spirit. Heal, deliver, open the door, clear the path, do whatever You have to do. Let the fire fall. Cleanse them, burn them, change them, heal them, deliver them. Let the gold glow, let the dross rise to the top and scooped away. Help them to find their calling. Help them to find their place in Your kingdom. Help them to find their area of service. If they have been ignoring a gift, Lord, bring it to their remembrance, and then help them, encourage them, take away the fear and the doubt. No fear of rejection. You've been made perfect in His love. We thank You, Lord. We thank You for what You've done, and what You are doing. And now, Holy Spirit, have Your way. Have Your way with this ministry, with this show, with our lives. Have Your way, Holy Spirit, so that we can prepare for the return of the King, that we can get people saved, healed, and delivered, that we can be a part of the final harvest, the final move of God, that we can be a part of the remnant that You'll use in this hour. As that song said, send Your love, send Your power. We thank You, Father. We give You all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. Now, if you agree with everything I said, just say amen. The Lord is awesome, folks. And He's coming back. Signs of the times, you know that He's coming back soon. And I want to be ready. And I want to be about my Father's business. And I want to do what He's asked me to do in this hour. And I want to do it with you. I would love to be standing shoulder to shoulder, side by side, as we clear a path for the King. The church age isn't over. Pentecost is still ongoing. And keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.